Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics, and on this special episode, I'll be having a chat with Oren Moverman, who is one of my favorite filmmakers around. Oren Moverman is the guy who wrote and directed movies such as The Messenger with Ben Foster, A Time Out of Mind with Richard Gere, and Rampart with Woody Harrelson. And I'm talking to him today about his new film, The Dinner, which has an amazing cast led by Gere and also Steve, Laura Linney, and Rebecca Hall. Now, the film is an adaptation of the novel, which has been adapted in many different countries for reasons that once you see the film and once you hear him speak about it, you'll understand why. It follows two married couples having a really, really icy dinner conversation about a violent act committed by their kids that happens to have been caught on tape. Now, there's more to it than that. The two of the couples include brothers, played by Richard Gere and Coogan, who have a not-so-good relationship. Gere is a politician who is about to run for governor, and Coogan is a former history teacher who has various personal issues of his own. So you could call it a sibling rivalry. But there's a lot going on between these four characters, as you'll see once you check out the film and once you listen to Oren Moverman chat about it. So here's my interview with Oren Moverman. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening. Hi, Oren. How are you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for taking the time to call me.
Oh, of course. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Absolutely. So let's talk about The Dinner a little bit. I actually just finished watching it about an hour ago, so it's fresh in my head.
How are you feeling?
Well, I'll tell you, it got me thinking about something, and I'll get to it in a second. But first, I remember because we cover this stuff on our site. I remember that you've been attached to this since the beginning, back when Cate Blanchett was going to direct it, but you were there, right from the beginning, and now you're a director. What was it that originally attracted you to this story? Because it's originally, is it Danish, correct?
It's Dutch, yeah. Close.
Dutch, excuse me. Yeah, excuse me, sorry.
Whatever.
I got my D's mixed up.
quite honestly, between us and everyone else, it was, first and foremost, it was Cate. Cate Blanchett wanted to direct a movie, and I thought, that's going to be interesting. And I was lucky enough to be chosen by her to write it, and I thought, that's a privilege. I'll jump in. I knew the book. Mm-hmm. I read it because I knew the producer, and I thought it was a fine book. I wasn't exactly sure it was my kind of thing. But once I started working with Cate, and once I sort of took it over after she couldn't do it because of her schedule, I started kind of finding my way through it. And to me, what was really interesting is just the ability to take on so many different issues and kind of throw them into the mix together and kind of, pardon the sad pun, but really kind of create a meal out of it. And one that could be very much a product of our time, because it will be quite overwhelming and quite provocative, and not necessarily comfortable, but really kind of a beginning of a conversation that I thought would be good to get into.
Now, like you said, this movie does deal with a lot of issues, but it's basically a four-hander. It's basically four characters and a conversation over dinner. But were there changes that you saw that needed to be made from the Dutch version to the American version just to kind of fit with us culturally?
Yeah, I think I don't read Dutch, so I've never read the original for real.
Mm-hmm.
Only translation. Mm-hmm. I think that the sense that I got is that the Dutch book was a satire. It was taking on Dutch, kind of the Dutch bourgeois, and really using an event that really happened in Barcelona, and kind of using that to comment on what Dutch society is like in a humorous way. From the beginning, I talked to Cate about this movie not being a satire, but actually being more dramatic and even throwing in some thriller elements, but really existing in a different kind of cinematic universe. But I think that, moving it from Holland to the States, just created, you know, a lot of little problems or issues, challenges that had to be taken on. In the Dutch version, the politician, you know, he kind of travels light. He just shows up at this restaurant. They have this dinner. There's not a feeling of something around him, like assistants and advisors and people like that who
right.
would be in an American setting. In the American version, I felt like the politician, especially if he's being played by Richard Gere in an Armani suit, will probably be on his second, if not his third marriage, and not kind of in the original marriage that he had, and that's the approach of the book. The book deals a lot with history because the Steve Coogan character, Paul, is a history, ex-history teacher, and his history is obviously European. I brought in American history, the Civil War specifically. I like the idea of taking something that's called the Civil War, because the idea of something civil that is war is really at the heart of the setup here.
Mm.
Kind of very civilized restaurant, over the top, kind of completely rarefied, one percenter kind of place that's really ridiculous for most of us. It has its own kind of civilized way of behaving, and yet they're there to talk about a savage act.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I think the story is quite universal, and I think that the reason it's so adaptable to different cultures, because there's an American, Dutch, and Italian version of this book, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are others coming, is that it does touch on universal themes, and it does bring in the ideas of, you know, how far would you go to protect your kid when he's committed a
right.
crime, and that is an argument that's not winnable.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that is one of the things that I really enjoyed about the movie, is that it does ask that central question, you know, what would you do? How far would you go for your child, to protect your child? But also it is surrounded by all of these other issues as well. And I think that's an interesting combination. But you mentioned Richard Gere's character, he's a congressman running for governor, or he's about to run for governor. So this movie is political in a way, and I think all of your movies to some extent are political, but this one feels like maybe the most political, even though it's not, if you just look at it on the surface, it doesn't seem like it is,
but
I think it probably is your most political movie. Would you agree with that, to some extent?
Yeah, I think it's probably the most political in the sense that it doesn't only take on an issue that you could fit into a political conversation, but it also takes mm-hmm. from the idea that everything is political, that family is political, that
right.
really every relationship and every organizational kind of unit of society has its own politics, from the family to to a school to basically, you know, the political world. Everything in this movie is driven by characters who have agendas, who are trying to serve their own agendas, who are trying to win this political fight within a family and within this terrible occurrence that happened. And there's the politics of the country, because he is a congressman and he is trying to do these grand gesture things, like a bill to take on mental health issues and deal with them like physical health issues from an insurance perspective, which sounds incredibly boring, except that it's really at the root of everything that is happening in this country, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that we're not dealing with so much, so many problems in the mental health, space, is
right.
really at the core of so many of the things that kind of build society.
And in the case of Gere's character, it is a very broad gesture, like you said, but it's coming from a very personal place.
That's what it seems. Yeah. But, you
mm-hmm.
know, you have to remember, and I think most people don't, and I don't blame them, that sort of, because he's not very reliable, but the Coogan character at some point in the first third of the movie, I think, or the end of the first third, really urges you not to trust the Richard Gere character. Says you're going to fall for him, and I'm not going to be able to protect you. And so, to me, he's always adding this doubt that, like, does he really mean it? Is he really that good? Is he really
right.
moral? I don't know. By
right.
the end of the movie, I'm not really sure.
I think that's one of the things I like about it as well, is that it does, your perspective does shift, because I do believe, like you said, the movie, the original, maybe the Dutch version begins as a satire. I think this one kind of begins looking like it might be a satire, and then it becomes something else along the way. You say that, you know, Coogan's character urges you not to trust Gear. You can't really trust Coogan either. You can't really trust any of them.
Exactly.
Which
makes
for, interesting.
You know, a perfect approach to the movie. Don't trust anybody.
Exactly. So while I was watching it, I couldn't help but thinking, and this is going back to politics a little bit, I couldn't help but thinking about children of privilege. And my thoughts went to – my thoughts – and this is probably because of where we are in this country right now. My thoughts turned to the Trump kids and it's like, and Trump himself as kids of privilege who kind of just got away with everything and continue to get away with everything no matter what they do. And I kind of thought about them as I was watching this movie in regards to the kids in this film who are being defended by their parents, but also kind of, in at least in one case, being thrown under the bus, maybe, you know? Mm-hmm. So I couldn't help but think about the Trump kids while I was watching.
Well, I think that fits very nicely into what this is. I think that there is something Trumpian about this movie, by which I mean that it touches upon a lot of things that are really at the core of the times we live in.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about Richard Gere. You guys seem to have really, you know, formed maybe a tight partnership that will last, you know, in time out of mind before this and now this. And it seems like this is going to be a union and may go on beyond this. What is it about Richard Gere that you love so much working with him?
Yeah, I mean, this is technically our fourth film together. We met on I'm Not There, which I co-wrote, and then we did Time of the Mind that I wrote and directed, and then I produced Norman and brought him into that. And then this one. So I would say you're right. There's definitely a feeling of a tight unit and that it will keep going, hopefully, because we have more projects in the works. You know, nice. I can talk for hours about Richard, but I can tell you that first and foremost, it's his talent as an actor that I think is deep and rich and have taken on all kinds of roles and has taken on a very specific kind of persona that may not, in my mind, fit exactly into what he is because he's so much more than his persona. And that is part of the, you know, the trappings of movie stardom. But I think that Richard is very interested in taking on challenging things and really acting. And that's all he's doing right now, and which works very well for me since these movies are really about acting. And beyond that, you know, I he's a real friend and a real teacher to me. He's someone who I believe has this beautiful, beautiful heart and beautiful mind. And our work together, you know, is about these movies, but it's much more than that in our personal lives and in the way we talk about politics and in the way we kind of talk about the world. And I think he's a really unique individual and happens to be a movie star, but also happens to be an adventurer in the spiritual and moral world. And that is completely fascinating to me. So I feel very, very privileged to be a part of this partnership.
Before I let you go, I got to ask about Steve Coogan, who I think has probably the most difficult role and what must have been a challenging character to write, you know, characters with mental illness. There's always that worry about, you know, maybe being giving into a stereotype or doing something that, you know, that maybe stigmatizes, you know, people who suffer from mental illness. Talk to me a little bit about his performance, any challenges he faced and maybe your approach to writing that character.
Well, Steve, you know, Steve understood the character very well, and I think that even in the writing, I kind of felt that while he is suffering from mental health issues, he is someone who's incredibly intelligent, incredibly thoughtful, except that his thoughts mix with anger about the injustices of the world, and that really kind of derails him. He can't really control these impulses to get angry and to get upset and to feel kind of neglected by his own family. And so, you know, with Coogan, he told me very early on, he said, look, I get this guy. I have to do a different accent, but for the most part, I know this guy from the inside because I think we all have those feelings and we don't really express them, and I, meaning Steve, I sometimes express them more than most people, and he is quite known for that, and he is fearless. He'll take on Rupert Murdoch, he'll take on these people, because he has a very strong compass in terms of what he feels is justified. And in writing it, you know, it's a mix of, you bring a lot of yourself into it, but you also kind of play a character as a writer, in a sense, and some of it was in the book and was already there, and some of it was just kind of pushed to more of an extreme. But, you know, it's as you say, it's challenging not to fall into stereotypes, not to fall into obviousness. And I think with this kind of character, because his anger can go in so many different directions, there were just a lot of options in terms of how to write them.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge was to kind of focus it instead of writing, like, you know, 6-page monologues.
Nice. Well, Oren, this has been fantastic. You're one of my favorite directors out there, so I'm really happy to have a chance to talk to you. I hope the dinner does really well, man.
Thank you, and it means a lot to me, you saying that. So,
all right.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and whenever you and Richard get together for that, whatever your new projects are, I hope to talk to you guys again.
Absolutely.
All right, that was my interview with Oren Moverman, the writer and director of The Dinner. I hope you enjoyed it. You can check out the next episode of Cinema Royale coming up soon. Thanks a lot.